Not know me, my name is Pete Smith. For all those who are viewing at home, we want to welcome you to the worship service here at Good News Bible Chapel. This month, we're looking at just one word in the Hebrew, and that Hebrew word is Emmanuel. In English, it translates into three words, God with us, God with us. Now, you might say, well, that's a whole lot of time to spend on one phrase. Let me suggest to you that actually some people have actually spent their entire lives on that word and have not considered it enough time. On his deathbed, John Wesley fervently spoke his last words that we heard last week. The best of all is God with us. The best of all is God with us. He knew that an entire lifetime was not enough to just understand the significance of that phrase. Have you ever noticed in our day and age that we like to turn a lot of things into feelings? For example, you might be able to say, well, Pete, I feel like a jelly bean today. Right? Who here remembers the phrase from that movie back in the late 90s? I'm feeling very Olympic today. We've also turned the phrase, God with us, into a feeling. When people say, I really felt like God was with us, they often are talking about having sensed or felt God's presence. For example, Richard Foster's book, Life with God, he describes the Emmanuel principle in it, and he primarily defines it in terms of a feeling. He writes this, he says, the with God life is a life of unhurried peace and power. It is solid. It is serene. It is simple. It is radiant. It takes no time, though it permeates all of our time. He has turned this idea into a feeling. Perhaps you could look back in your life and you can say, you know what, I remember feeling some sort of peak, ecstatic, transcendent experience of some serene, peaceful event or some joy, and you really felt like God was with you in that moment. But the problem is, when you read the Bible and you actually study that phrase, that God was with someone, or that God is with us, you actually discover that it's actually not a feeling at all. You know, we ought to make sure we understand what's going on. And I don't, the reason we need to talk about this morning is because I don't want you sitting there at home next to the Christmas tree and a nice fire drinking some wassail or some eggnog or hot chocolate and, you know, think in that moment that, you know, somehow God is with me because you think you're feeling a feeling when that's maybe not what the Bible is actually talking about when it says that God is with us. So what I want us to do today is to recover that phrase, God with us. We want to make sure we got clarity on that so that when we read the Bible and we come across that phrase that so-and-so, that God was with so-and-so, or when we see it in our lifetimes, that we can say, yeah, God was with us in that. So let's look at the Bible and see what it says about this whole idea when we read that God is with us. I want to invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua in chapter 1. By the way, this morning, if you ever come at the 9 o'clock time, we are reading through the scriptures. And we were in the book of Joshua last week and this week. And I want to invite you to come and just read together on Sunday mornings. All over the Bible, we get this redundant phrase that God is with people. There are people all throughout the Old Testament and in the New Testament, God is with men, He is with women. And there are many times and many circumstances where people have actually heard directly from God that God actually tells them, I am with you. Let me give you several examples before we get to Joshua chapter 1. In Genesis chapter 26 and verse 24, we read, the Lord appeared to Isaac that night and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants for the sake of my servant Abraham. In Genesis chapter 28 and verse 15, God tells Jacob, he says, I am with you. I will protect you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. In Genesis chapter 39, we read the story of Joseph, and it says that the Lord was with Joseph. He was successful. Later on in the chapter, in verse 20, Joseph's master took him and threw him into a prison because he had been accused of doing something he didn't do. And it says that the place where the king's prisoners were confined, that's where he threw him into prison. So he was there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him kindness. He granted him favor in the sight of the prison warden. The warden put all the prisoners under Joseph's care. He was in charge of whatever they were doing. It says the warden did not concern himself with anything that was in Joseph's care because the Lord was with him. And whatever he was doing, the Lord was making successful. You remember the story of Moses at the burning bush. And Moses says to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh so that I should bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God replies this, surely I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that I have sent you. When you bring the people out of Egypt, you and they will serve God on this mountain. Look with me there in your Bibles there, Joshua chapter 1 and verse 5. God tells Joshua multiple times in this chapter that he's with him. Verse 5 says, no one will be able to resist you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I also will be with you. I will not abandon you or leave you alone. Drop down to verse 9. God says this to Joshua. He says, I repeat, be strong and brave. Don't be afraid and don't panic, for I, the Lord your God, am with you in all you do. In 1 Chronicles, the prophet Nathan says to David, you should do whatever you have in mind, for God is with you. In Jeremiah chapter 1, we read, the Lord said to Jeremiah, do not say I am too young, but go to whomever I send you and say whatever I tell you. Do not be afraid of those whom I send you, for I will be with you to protect you, says the Lord. In Haggai chapter 1, verse 13, the Haggai prophet, he's a post-exilic prophet, so the people have come back to Jerusalem after their Babylonian exile. And the Haggai, the Lord's messenger, speaks the word of the Lord to the people, and God says to the people of Israel, I am with you. In the New Testament, in Acts chapter 18, we read that the Lord said to Paul by a vision in the night, do not be afraid, but speak and do not be silent, because I am with you, and no one will assault you to harm you, because I have many people in this city. So, what does it mean when we hear that phrase over and over in the scriptures, that God is with us, or that God is with somebody? What's a good working definition for us? Well, for God to be with someone means that God is declaring that He is going to give someone success and protection to accomplish an assignment. An assigned task that God wants this person to do. And He's saying, look, I'm going to give you success. Now, there's 7 quick observations that I want to make from this definition. First, I want you to notice first that God is the one. He is the one who is determining whether or not He is with someone or not to help them succeed or to protect them. He gets to decide who He is with. God is the initiator. He's the one that pursues people. He's the one, He says, I want you to do this this task that you're going to succeed at. I'm going to help you. And when God is with someone, they succeeded no matter the odds. The second observation, don't believe the myth that when God is with someone or with you, that it's some sort of peak ecstatic religious experience. Some of those examples that I just quoted to you from the Old Testament, Joseph, right? Here's Joseph, and he's in prison for a crime he didn't commit in a country he got sent to by his brothers. He wasn't having a peak, transcendent, ecstatic experience with the Lord there in prison in Egypt, but God was with him. Jeremiah had the terrible task of proclaiming the downfall of Jerusalem and Judah to the Babylonians. And he had to witness it. He lived right through the downfall of the city. It wasn't a peak transcendent experience for him to watch the city and people he loved go to waste and succumb to the Babylonians. But God was with him. The third observation. Over and over and over again, God assigns people extremely difficult tasks that any normal person would be afraid to go do, okay? It's not normal to go to war, right? That was Joshua's assignment. Let's go to war. We read about it this morning down in the lower chapel, and boy, did they took care of business, all right? Who remembers reading the Red Badge of Courage growing up, right? That's the struggle of that soldier going to war. But here was Joshua, and they're assigned this extremely difficult task that nobody would normally want to do under normal circumstances, and yet it says God was with them. Jeremiah, when Jeremiah is given the task to proclaim the destruction of Jerusalem and Judah, and God tells him your whole ministry is going to be a failure. Nobody's going to listen to you, and nobody listened. It was an extremely difficult task when the king and all the other false prophets and the whole city was against the guy. But you know what? God was with Jeremiah with that assignment. For God to be with someone means that God is declaring that he's going to give someone success and protection to accomplish an assigned task that God assigns to him. The fourth observation is that it's not dependent on how strong someone's faith is or isn't. All the faith that those people needed was to just obey the Lord's instructions and do the assigned task. The fifth observation is we need to make sure we don't believe the myth that says, you know what? God's going to prosper me according to the world standards. It's his plan that is going to succeed, not ours. And not the world's plans. By the world's standards, we actually may fail spectacularly on the assignment. Okay, like Jeremiah, nobody repented and the whole city fell. But it was accomplishing God's plan successfully. For God to be with someone means that God is declaring who it is that he's going to give somebody success and protection to accomplish an assigned task that he wants to see come to fruition. The sixth observation is that God can choose also to abandon those who he is with. Remember, this is an assignment. People have been assigned tasks that they needed to go do, and they had a choice in the matter of whether or not they were going to go undertake this assignment and do the assignment God's way or not. And when the people chose to do things their own way, God led them. But he was not with them. We've already discovered that God was clearly with Joshua in Joshua chapter 1. And there's this amazing victory over Jericho, and they do the right thing by marching around seven times and blowing the trumpets and killing the city. Well, there was another part of that process that they were supposed to do God's way, but they didn't. They were supposed to collect all the treasure, all the booty, all the gold and silver and everything. They were supposed to dedicate everything to the Lord as the Lord had instructed him. But there was one guy in the nation that decided to keep some of the loot for himself, a guy by the name of Achan. And Joshua and the Israelites, they didn't know it. And when they decided, let's go, we got this great victory behind us, let's go attack this little city of Ai. Well, they go out and they suffer a great loss. People died because one person didn't obey the Lord. And Joshua comes to the Lord, he laments and he prays to the Lord. He says, the Lord responded to Joshua. He says, I will no longer be with you unless you destroy what has contaminated you. Israel didn't want to do the assigned task God's way. And so God said to them, I'm not going to be with them. When I discovered this whole concept of God's with us, I was working on a lament psalm, and I come across a journal article written by a professor of mine at Dallas Seminary who did his PhD dissertation on this very matter. And it really, it just opened to my eyes to what this whole biblical concept of God with us is really about. And in that journal article, he wrote this. He said, God's promise to be with Joshua did not preclude not being with Joshua if the people were not with God. And this is exactly what we see elsewhere. In 2 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse 2, we read, the Lord is with you when you are with Him, and if you seek Him, He will reveal Himself to you. But if you abandon Him, He will abandon you. Don't believe the myth that says that God is always unconditionally with you as your starting point if you're not willing to do things the way He's asking you to do them. I'm not talking about salvation here, okay? I'm talking about an assignment that God tasks people and gives people specific individuals to go do and wants them to go and succeed at, okay? All I'm saying is that once God is with someone, it doesn't mean they've got some sort of unconditional success forevermore if they don't do it the way He asked them to, just like Achan and Israel failed to do at Jericho. We can't explain the way the declaration that He decides He's going to abandon some people when He's given them an assignment because they don't do it His way. You may remember King David. King David was a man who was a man after God's own heart, right? He commits adultery. He then goes and he murders somebody. And he sins these terrible sins. And he prays in Psalm 51. He says, create for me a pure heart, O God. Renew a resolute spirit within me. Do not reject me. Don't take your Holy Spirit away from me. What's he saying? He's saying, don't abandon me. I remember what you did with Saul. How you abandoned him and you stopped giving him success. I want to be with you, God. And I want you to be with me. He had an assignment to do as the king of Israel. He didn't want God to abandon him because he knew he had failed to do life God's way. So let's just make sure we don't explain away God's declaration that he does sometimes abandon those he used to be with because they haven't done things his way. We've got to be honest with the evidence and try to understand why it is that God abandons people. It's never his fault. It's never his fault. It's always the human's fault for not doing things the Lord wants them to do in his way. So remember this definition. For God to be with someone means that God is declaring that he's going to give someone success and protection to accomplish an assigned task. And the final observation is that it is always the human's fault for deciding not to do the task God's way. So what I've been talking about this concept for now for a little bit here. Why is this important? What difference does it make? When we come to the New Testament, and you come to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23, there's Joseph's dream, and the angel of the Lord appears to Joseph, and he says to Joseph, look, the virgin will conceive and bear a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. What does it mean if Jesus is personally God with us? If Jesus is the physical manifestation of God with us, that he's here and he's God, like we've talked about last week, and now he's in the flesh as a person here among us, not only should we understand it that way, but we should also understand it that God is actually declaring to give this baby that Mary is going to be conceiving, to give him success and protection. And we should also think in terms of saying, hey, here's God, and he has come to do an assignment, a task. You might say, well, what is that task, Pete? Great question. Our assigned task at the beginning of creation was to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. We were tasked to rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and every creature that moves on the ground. But We didn't do it. We mismanaged and damaged creation. We interacted with each other in the wrong way. Adam sinned when he took the fruit, and we all sinned when we were in Adam. And as a result, we spend our lives working extra because of the fall. We were supposed to work even before the fall, but now that there's been all this damage and sin has wreaked havoc in creation, the real work below the work never gets done. We go and we try and we do and we do and we try to restore paradise and we try to recover from our sin, and yet that job is never done. But when God with us shows up in Jesus Christ, God Himself came to succeed at the ultimate task, the ultimate work to restore paradise lost and protect us from the wages of sin. If Jesus is God with us, that means that God came to succeed at the ultimate assignment, the ultimate task. And I want you to think about that. All right? Why is it that the first words we read from Jesus' lips in the Gospel of Luke as a 12-year-old boy, he says this. He says, "Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" He's saying, "I've got an assigned task." In Luke chapter 4, after his temptation in the wilderness, after the baptism and the temptation, he shows up in his own hometown at the synagogue, and he opens up the scroll and he reads it. And this is what it says from Isaiah. He reads this out loud. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and the regaining of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." He's saying, "This is my assignment. This is my task that I have been given. This is the work that I got to go do." Over and over again in the Gospel of John, Jesus talks about He has to go do His Father's work. In John chapter 4, He says, "My food is to do the will of the one who sent me and to complete His work." Later He says, "My Father is working until now, and I too am working." He's doing the work. He had an assignment, a big job to do, to handle the work below the work for all of us. Elsewhere in the Gospels, we read how Jesus presents Himself as the Lord of the Sabbath. He's the one who can give the true rest for the work below the work, right? He's the one who says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest," right? Because He's got all that work that needs to be done because nobody else did it. The first Adam failed at the assignment. He's got to come and do it. And finally, what do we see? On the cross, hanging there, He's suffering for the sins of the world, and He talks about His assigned task, doesn't He? And He says, "It is finished. It is completed. The work is done. The work below all the work to fix all the extra work that our sin created, and the work that Jesus finally took that assignment on and personally and finally finished it Himself. God with us took on the assignment and did it. Only God Himself could successfully complete the ultimate task. And that means that when Jesus says, or when we read in the Gospels that He is God with us, that means that Jesus personally showed up and declared He was going to personally succeed at the ultimate assignment, the task that was before Him. He took on that assignment alone, and He completed it successfully. And as a result, we can get that rest that He's talking about. We can get the ultimate rest that we're looking for. We can get the ultimate protection we long for from death and eternal punishment. So, how do we get those benefits? If He's done the work below the work, if He's done the ultimate assignment, and God was here doing that on His own, and He gives us the opportunity to have eternal life and take away our heavy burdens and give us forgiveness of sins, how in the world do you and I get those benefits? If you're the kind of person here who has actually never trusted in who Jesus is, that he is God with us, and that he actually came to accomplish the assignment that he came to do to free us from sin and death, then you need to stop right now and just think about it. Is Jesus personally God with us or not? You need to consider and reconsider your estimate of Jesus. Is he who the Bible says he is? That he is God with us? That's the ultimate question for you this Christmas. Because if you don't believe Jesus is personally God with us, then you're saying you believe that you can accomplish the work successfully on your own instead of God's way. And what did we hear earlier? Because of that, you're going to fail. God says he'll abandon you. The Lord is with you when you are with him. And if you seek him, he will reveal himself to you. But if you abandon him, he will abandon you. Okay, you're not going to succeed in your assignment, in your struggle to relieve yourself of the burdens of your sin. You're going to lose worse than the Israelites did after the sin of Achan. Remember what God said to Joshua after that sin? I will no longer be with you unless you destroy what has contaminated you. And the only way to destroy sin is to trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. That contamination that has happened to us, you have to trust that God with us took on that assignment and did it. And that Jesus is that person who did it. Don't leave here knowing God will abandon you for eternity because you didn't believe Jesus is God with us. So I want to encourage you, if you do not trust in Jesus Christ today, to trust him today. Don't wait any longer. Come, talk to me. I want to help you. I want to talk to you. I want to hear from you why it is you don't believe Jesus is personally God with us. If you're here today and you already believe that Jesus personally succeeded in the ultimate task to reverse the effects of sin, then you actually need to know that you and I, we have a new assignment, don't we? According to Jesus, each and every one of us has been given a mission. We got it right up here too. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Christians, Good News Bible Chapel, our assignment is to lead people to faith and maturity in Christ. And when we do that, we are sitting with people in the community or at work or in your family that are struggling and they're down. When you're building friendships with adults because, you know, your kids are playing sports and their kids are playing sports and you're meeting people and you're saying hi to them and you ask them over to have something more than just a sports game together, or when you finally get up the courage to give the good news of Jesus Christ to a coworker or maybe an unsaved family member, or when you invite people to church or to the Christmas Eve service that we have coming up, when we do that assigned task, God is with us. Jesus says, remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Hey, church, you're going to succeed at this. I want you to do that. That's your task. It's an impossible task that he gave to those original disciples. Go tell the whole world, all the nations. That little band of believers just about did it in their lifetime. It was an impossible assignment, and he was with them. You don't have to be afraid. You're going to succeed at that new task. Go for it. Even if you die, you'll succeed. But if you're here and you aren't reaching those far from Emmanuel, then God's not with you. He's not going to force you to do this new assignment. It's your choice. But if you don't, you're not going to succeed at it because God's not with you. the Lord is with you and you are with him in the assignment, in the assigned task of leading people to faith and maturity in Christ. It's our responsibility as Christians to get going on that assigned task before us. Don't leave here without sensing a renewed urgency to do our assigned task, to share the good news of Jesus Christ with other people. I want to challenge you, get one of those cards in the foyer or whatever you need to do to invite people here for the Christmas Eve service. Leave here with confidence, knowing that you need to keep trying and trying and trying and trying to get people to Jesus Christ. If all the authority in all of heaven and earth has been given to him and he's with you on this mission to assault the gates of hell, you'll succeed. I know how many people talk about how hard it is here in New England. I love that. It's an impossible assignment that we've been given. But that's our assignment. And Jesus is with us when we are on that assignment. Don't stop doing that assigned task because we feel like God isn't with us. Remember, it's not a feeling. It's God's personal declaration to give someone success and protection to accomplish his assigned task. When Victoria and I announced in Dallas that we were going to be moving to Kansas to become be in ministry there, there was a dear sister in Christ from Bahrain who attended our church there in Dallas, and she gave me this gift. It has a little scripture on it from Joshua chapter 9. It reads, "Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." This plaque has meant more to me now than ever before when I understood the concept of God being with somebody on an assignment. On more than one occasion, it has reminded me to keep going forward and doing his assignment his way. I personally would not have moved to Attleboro if I had not learned this lesson. John Wesley was the son of an Anglican priest. As a five-year-old child, he nearly died in a fire that actually devastated the church parsonage. They thought they got everybody out alive, and then they looked around, and John was not there. He was actually still sleeping in his bed while the house was on fire. Almost kind of miraculously, he woke up and went to the window, and people saw him, and some men from the town got up there and rescued him. John Wesley literally believed he was literally plucked from the fire for a great purpose. After he got saved as a young man, he was plagued by a lot of doubts. He felt fear. He felt inadequate. But he resolved not to let feelings dictate whether or not he would actually participate in the mission of Jesus Christ. Listen to what he said. He said, "Well may fears be within me, but I must go on and tread them under my feet." And he almost did just that. Literally, as he began an itinerant ministry that lasted 50 years into his late 80s, and he preached over 40,000 sermons. He traveled over 250,000 miles. John Wesley knew that he had been given an extraordinarily difficult assignment to reach people in a very dark age. Morality in Europe was at an all-time low in his day. People wanted a revolution in England. They were having revolutions in France. They wanted them in England. But the Lord used John Wesley as part of the great revival in Great Britain in his day. And as a result, many, many people got saved and became serious followers of the Lord Jesus Christ instead of sinking Britain into a great revolution. Are you beginning to sense just a little bit better what it means by that word Emmanuel, God with us? Are you beginning to understand the wonder of John Wesley's last words on his deathbed? The best of all is God with us. The best of all is God with us. Are you beginning to realize what John Wesley himself attributed all his success to? May the Lord be with us as we endeavor to accomplish his mission that he has given us an assignment to do in our day and age. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I want to thank you so much for your word. I know that it's a hard concept to understand that you are with people and you give them an assignment and you task them to do things that seem very difficult and hard to do, and that you will give them success and protection to fulfill those tasks if they do it your way. But I pray that as we hear that phrase this year, Emmanuel, God with us, that we would start to remember you, Lord Jesus, you, the ultimate worker, to come and do the assignment that we failed at. The work below all the work has been resolved because you came and you did it the right way before the Father. You never sinned, Lord Jesus. You hung on the cross and you died for our sin to restore us back into a right relationship with God. And I want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for doing that. I pray that if there's anybody here today who has not yet recognized that you personally are God with us, that they would do so today. They would consider it, reconsider it. They would understand they've got a load and a weariness about them that they need to get rid of, and that they would come to you to finish that work for them, because you alone can do it, Lord Jesus. So I pray, Father, that you would not let anyone rest until they find you. I pray also, Father, for strength for us as we go do the assignment to reach the nations for Jesus Christ, reach our neighbors and our friends and our family and our coworkers, the people that we interact with regularly, Lord. I pray that you would get us into new friendship circles with people that we don't know, so that we can go do your mission, and that we would understand you are with us whether we feel it or not. And as we keep making attempts to invite people to church, to deliver the good news to them, Lord, that you would provide success in ways that we would never have expected just by trusting that you are with us on this assignment, Lord Jesus. It's you who gave us the task. You're with us when we are with you on this assignment. So I pray, Lord, that we would just understand a bit more how much you want to reach the nations. Help us to invite people to church for Christmas Eve. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's have our